This show is a legal advertisement, and it is intended to provide general information only. It is not intended to provide specific legal advice, nor does it create an attorney-client relationship. You should not rely on general legal information instead of specific legal advice regarding your specific circumstances. Follow-up contact does not create an attorney-client relationship and does not constitute legal advice.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys here ready to help you. All you have to do is call. What's on your mind today? 303-713-8255. 303-713-8255. You give us a call on any legal subject. Even though we're injury attorneys, we'll answer your question on any legal subject, landlord-tenant, real estate, wills, domestic, divorces, it doesn't matter. We're here to help you. You've been called by creditors. You've been harassed by creditors. We can get you to the right place. And I'll tell you what, we can also refer you out if your call is beyond our expertise. We do it all the time, and we're glad to do it, all to help you. Don't forget about our new books. One book is called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, Once in the Accident and Again on the Insurance Claim. What does that mean? Don't get hurt twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. You've already been hurt. You don't want to be hurt again. Read our book. It's free. We'll give you a free hard copy. If you want, you can call the studio right here, 303-713-8255. If you want it, you can get it on the website. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. You can download an ebook. They're all free. They're for you. They're to give you information. Don't you want to be on an equal level playing field with the insurance company? Our other book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. Everything you ever wanted to know or needed to know or didn't want to know about hit and run accidents. What about these people that hit you? They hit people in strollers. They hit babies. They hit car pedestrians. They hit other cars. They leave. You can't find them. They're gone. They're cowards of the street. That's the name of our book, Hit and Run. Also, the book contains very, very detailed step-by-step procedures, probably the last half of the book, on insurance coverage, car insurance coverage in Colorado, what you need to do right now to protect yourself from a hit and run. And you say, well, I'm never going to get in a hit and run. Look at the statistics in this book. Look what we've got to tell you. But even if you're not in a hit and run, if you're hit by another car that does stay there, they're not cowards, they stay, they try to help, but they say, I don't have any insurance. I'm sorry. Or they give you an insurance card. This just happened this week again. Here's my insurance card, but when you call the insurance company, they say, that policy's lapsed. It's canceled. There's no coverage. What are you going to do for yourself? Follow the instructions in this book. They're easy. Either book. You can get either book, and we've got a new book coming out as well. 303-713-8255. Yesterday, Brad and I cut a new show that's going to air tomorrow morning on numerous stations up in the mountains as well. Speaking of the mountains, welcome Steamboat Springs and surrounding areas. And the new book is going to be on workers' compensation. But yesterday, Brad, we talked about rear-end accidents. And everybody says, well, I've been rear-ended. It's the other person's fault. So surely this is a myth. Surely the insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who crashed into me, is going to be fair and compensate me fairly.
Now, that's not necessarily the point or the fact. A lot of times you're going to find yourself in a situation where they're going to blame you. They're going to blame you for the accident. You go, well, how can they do that? Well, they have their ways, and we can talk about them as we go. But I can tell you right now, you've got a lot of situations where you're involved in. And when you run into these kind of things, where the accident ends, where they will try to at least place some responsibility for the accident on you. What will they do? Well, you stopped too fast. You changed lanes. You started and you stopped. You waited at the stoplight too long. They'll, They'll have every reason that they can say why you were contributing to that accident, because that's what they want to do to save them money.
You were at fault. So, basically, cases get divided into 2 points. You were at fault, liability and damages. So you were at fault for causing the accident, even though you were rear-ended. You need to hear this show. And you're at fault for your own damages because either you're not compliant or you had a pre-existing condition. So you're at fault either wholly or partially for the accident. You're at fault wholly or partially for your own injuries. So I guess we, the insurance company, for the at-fault party, just doesn't owe you anything. We don't owe you anything. You need to listen to the show. In 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to have a show on snow and ice. And you think, it's snow and ice. We know everything about that. You need to listen to that show. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow. We're going to cut that show in a couple of weeks. And there's some new developments in the law in Colorado on snow and ice. Right now, we're going to talk a lot with Robert. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Hey, yeah, come to think of it, that the rear end stuff, that's not why I called, but I saw an accident on the 23rd Street Viaduct into Denver. The guy actually backed into the guy behind him and claimed that the person behind him had hit him.
There you go.
And had there not been a witness, is it one person against the other? But I, stayed around as a witness till a cop showed up.
You did?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to send you some kind of award then. That's incredible.
Well, sometimes they'll just say, come downtown and fill out a report, And I said, no, I'd like an officer on the scene.
If you weren't all the way up in Boulder, I'd buy you a breakfast at Caitlin's, Robert.
It seems like it's quite a distance.
Well, but I tell you what, witnesses are crucial because that's exactly what happens right there. They backed into me. I didn't hit them. You're at a red light. You start to go. It turns green. You start to go. The person in front of you stops for emergency vehicles coming across the intersection. Then you get rear-ended. And they say, well, there's a green light. Why did you stop? But we just cover all the areas that you're rear-ended and you did nothing wrong, and the insurance company is going to try to find why you contributed to the accident and or why you contributed to your own injuries, really?
And people don't understand how important a witness is. A witness is very important. Witnesses need to fill out the statements, let them know where you're at. I know it's an inconvenience. I know it's a problem. But sometimes you might be the person that needs the witness, and the way we get to the truth a lot of times, the way we resolve cases, the way we can resolve these arguments about who's at fault and what happened and how it happened, are witnesses who are willing to stick around and come forward later on and tell us what happened. It's important to have people like that. Robert, I'm glad you stayed.
Well, I look forward to jury duty. When I get I guess it's a summons or a request or something to be down to be pulled for a jury.
Right.
I just look forward to it. I think it's a duty that people try to avoid. I don't understand it.
You know what the interesting part about jury duty is this, is we try to always interview jurors after every trial. We're not always successful. Sometimes they want to leave. They don't want to talk, but sometimes they do. And I don't know. I guess there's an exception, but I really can't remember one. The jurors we talked to at the beginning, at the inception, they got the summons. They really didn't want to go. When I get a summons, I don't want to go. You don't want to go down and do jury duty, but almost universally when we interview them afterwards, they say when it's all over with the trial, that's one of the best experiences they ever had. They were really glad they did it. They learned a lot, and their whole perspective has changed.
That goes for a lot of things. I spent 6 months in Boulder County Jail, and that was an eye-opener, too.
Oh, really?
And, that was one of the best experiences of my life. I got to meet a lot of interesting people.
Well,
the food was great. We've got a cookie recipe from the cook for the jail there. Anyhow.
Well, that's one way to put a positive spin on everything.
I said, when it was time for me to leave, I said, can I spend a couple more days? And they said, that's the first time anyone's ever.
Jailhouse cookies.
Jailhouse cookies for Robert. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call, man.
The reason I called was, can you restrain someone without being accused of assault?
All right, we're going to cover that after the break.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, we're here for you. Our telephone number, 303-713-8255. We are injury attorneys here to help you on any subject, what's on your mind today. We'll be right back. Good morning. Here we go, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Bring up your legal bagel, pull up a chair, your legal coffee. We're going to talk law. This is a law talk show, the only show of its kind. We're ready to do it. I'll tell you what, the question before from Robert was, can you restrain somebody at the scene of an accident? And that's not probable cause to use force, but there's certain things you can do and shouldn't do. I'll give my take on it, and Brad can give his take. I mean, there's no probable cause or reasonable cause to try to use physical force on anybody. The problem is when somebody says, I'm going to leave, I'm leaving, I'm taking off, you know, and you don't want to get into a physical altercation. It causes all kinds of problems. And guess if you get into a fist fight or fight, the insurance company is going to say, well, that's how you got hurt, the fist fight. You didn't get hurt in the car accident, you got hurt in the fist fight. But it happens a lot with drunk drivers. It happened, we know no one this week. It happens with drunk drivers. They hit you, and this driver says, you know, are we good? No, we're not good. You're not leaving. We're good, right? No, I just said we're not good. We're not going to go anywhere. Well, I'm going to take off. No, you're not. So you can talk to them. You can tell them not to leave, but the physical force is out of the question.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I've heard of times where people will try to block the car from going somewhere, and where they'll try and stop the person from leaving. You know, you're heading yourself into an assault situation. If you want to block the car with your car, and if you're a witness or somebody trying to help stop the person from leaving, maybe you can do that without being hurt, but you may end up damaging your car. You don't want a situation where all of a sudden now you're the defendant in a lawsuit who's suing you for improperly or for causing injury to the person who wanted to leave. The law, if you can get enough information, if you can get the license plate, or if you can get enough information, the law will catch up to them. The law will do what it needs to do. But you know, here's another example where I can tell you, you really can't use much physical force, because you're going to get yourself into a lawsuit. You're going to get hurt. You're going to hurt someone else. But at the same time, what you have to remember is you want to have the protection for people who do that. And that goes to your uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage.
Correct.
You need to have the uninsured motorist coverage, because people will leave. People who have been drinking and driving quite often will take off. And anymore, when you go into a court to defend those cases, I think everybody, the district attorneys, the judges, everybody presume that that's why you left. They may not be able to prove it. They may get off from that charge. But the judge is a lot tougher on the sentencing when it comes to leaving the scene of the accident and on what else happens.
If you get into a fist fight, there's going to be criminal charges, there's going to be potential civil charges, and it's going to destroy, if you were injured legitimately, it's going to destroy an injury claim, because the insurance company is going to say that's how you got hurt. Nothing good is going to come from that. But you've got a camera in your phone, take pictures. If you're in a hit and run, and this is in our book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. If you're in a hit and run, don't leave the scene. Say, I'll call the police later. Call them and you wait. There's nobody else around, but you wait and you see what they're going to do. We're going to talk a lot with Al now. Good morning, Al. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Good.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I've been injured, but I have no injuries yet.
All right.
In August, my wife and I went down and we applied for our second passports. We had unfortunately let the first passports expire, and we didn't renew them in time. So, you know, you turn in your old passports, and you bring your original birth certificates, and you fill out a bunch of paper, and you get your pictures taken. And within 30 days, we had our original passports. And they mail them back in separate envelopes, priority mail, with a tracking number. No problem. About a week later, we received our old passports, but we never received our birth certificates. So there's two birth certificates, originals, my wife and my own, that are floating out there somewhere. So I called them, and they looked, and I've called them three or four times, and this is the Department of State.
Right.
And they finally followed up a week ago with a letter saying, thank you for your inquiry. It says they've searched and did not find your birth certificate. According to our records, they were mailed back to you on 9/21/15. Good. Okay. Well, show me the tracking number. Well, they send it just first class mail, and it's unusual that I got the two letters saying that you know, they can't find my passports, but or my birth certificates. But where are they? And so I feel that I've got a breach of contract here or something. I mean, I contracted with them, spent $300 for two passports to, you know, come through and send me back everything I sent them. I even asked the people at the post office, what do they do to assure that the passport or that the birth certificates get back? Because I was worried more about losing a birth certificate than a passport. Now, am I getting over the top on this? I mean, but I think if somebody has my wife's birth certificate or my birth certificate, they've got the key to my front door, so to speak.
Well, I think you've got some legitimate concerns, and you've taken a lot of good action, you know, beyond what most people would do, you know, to try to correct the situation. You've now got letters, you got proof, or sort of proof that they had it. You know, they sent it to them. But you know, the way my take on this whole thing is, you're headed down a legal tunnel with almost no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
I mean, and you already know.
I don't know where to go.
Yeah, you know the issue. So, I think my take on this is less of a legal opinion, because the government, usually they have governmental immunity,
right,
and they can't be, you know, if sued for much. They can be sued for certain things, but many things they cannot be, and they have governmental immunity, just like judges, just like congressmen and senators, et cetera. So my advice, probably you've already thought about, you seem like a very detailed guy, is, you know, identity theft. I would do everything. You've done everything to try to find the birth certificates. I would do everything to sign up with the companies that, you know,
right,
track
and
your identity.
I'm going to look into that this coming week, if it isn't already too late. Now, I don't have any indications that it is too late. I've checked my credit before. I'm going to do that today with, you know, the credit bureaus. But I do think I need to sign up. Now, there's a cost to it. I think they owe me the cost.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think you are entitled to some credit monitoring. I'm not saying this, the Department of State is going to say, well, automatically we're going to give you this, but I think you're entitled to some credit monitoring. So you were able to find it, and hopefully you got the name and number. If not, you're going to have to go back through the process to get a live person at the Department of State.
Oh, I've got the numbers, and every person that I've talked to, I've talked to three different people. I've talked to two postmasters, one where I had my birth certificates done, and then the one that actually delivers my mail. They're two different places, and you know, they just say, hey, sorry, if they sent it first class, there's nothing we can do. If it was in the mail, we would have delivered it. And on the other side, they say, we put it in the mail. So, you know, you got he said, she said going on here.
Well, actually, we have a little in with an ex-postmaster. We can talk to him this week about that situation.
We will.
And do that. But I think what's going to have to happen here is that when you talk to the person at the State Department, you tell them you want some credit monitoring, you want some credit protection, some credit ID theft or to stop that. They're going to kind of laugh and say, yeah, sure, we're not going to do that. And amazingly enough, the person I think you're going to have to call your local U.S. congressman or senator, and
okay,
call their office. And I think that's where you're going to get your performance. But we do, in our office, we have a man who works for us who was an ex-postmaster at one of the post offices here in Denver. And
can
so
I leave a contact number with you guys, and maybe you could just give me if he has any advice, I get a call back, or can I call your office next week?
No, we'll take your number. We'll get it, because we're going to ask him, and then we're going to do some more research for you free on the Federal Tort Claims Act. When the federal government does something wrong, it's governed by the Federal Tort Claims Act, and so they have immunity, but there's some exceptions carved out. So we're going to give you we'll educate you on that, and we'll ask the postmaster and see what we can do. So if we don't mind, we put you on hold.
Oh, no, perfect.
And we'll give you a call and see what our postmaster says.
All right.
And the Federal Tort Claims Act. Because, you know, I got to tell you, one time I went through the security at DIA, they told me to take everything out of my pocket. I had cash in my pocket. It got commingled. With other passengers' cash, and then they kept saying, "How much money did you have? how much money did you have? And so they said, well, here you can file a claim with the Federal Tort Claim Act. Here's the form. So we'll get you headed the right direction.
We're going to get you the forms. We'll talk to our guy and maybe have him talk to you. And then what we'll do, is, you know, and then, but this might end out just having to make contact with your local congressman and tell him they did it.
That's great.
You know, before I put you on hold, Al, one thing I would tell you is that you're in, as I said at the beginning, you're in a legal tunnel with almost no light at the end. But the key word for you, if you were sitting right in my office and we were looking eye to eye, is persistence. And it looks like you've got it, and so don't give up. So we'll give you some help here.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, listen, isn't it a shame? Of course, it's nice that you have a radio show to call.
Sure.
But isn't it a shame that you have to call a radio show on a Saturday morning to get the advice that the governmental agencies can't give you?
Amen, brother.
Especially when they're losing your stuff.
I spent over $300 with them, and it's just like, sorry.
Yeah.
And so I can't thank you enough.
Well, you're welcome. And by the way, I never got my cash back, so.
Well, you know what? I'd have rather lost cash than
certificate. Of course. Hey, we'll put you on. Thank you very much for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, Kevin, please get Al's information. Bill, we're going to get to you. Brian, we're going to get to you. Sue, we're going to get to you. Don't worry. We've got a break coming up, and we'll see you right after the break. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys in our day lives, in our radio lives here. We're to help you on any legal subject. 303-713-8255, 713-8255, and in the mountains, 970-457-1009. That's 94.1 FM KEZZ in Steamboat Springs. Right now, we're going to talk law with Brian. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
What can we do for you? Brian, we can't hear you. I don't know, were you in a car or something? We can't hear you.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
There we go. Okay, I had a restraining order put on me years ago. I never assaulted the lady. It was actually my ex-wife.
Right.
The cops were never called. What it was is I was going to show her an unfit mother and take the boys away from her. She was drinking, drugging, leaving the boys at home by themselves after we had split up. And that spooked her, and so she went and took me to court, put this restraining order on me, basically told the judge that she felt scared that I was going to take the boys. And that was never the case. But so he put this restraining order on me, and it's been on me now for 12 years. I have no idea where she's at anymore, no contact with her. Of course, she pulled the boys out of my life years ago. So I want to know how I feel about getting this restraining order lifted and removed from my record. I mean, that's the only thing on my record. I've never been arrested. I've never been in jail. You know.
Where was it entered?
It was in Weld County.
Okay.
Colorado.
All right. And do you still live in Weld County?
No, I actually live in Colorado Springs. That's where I was living when she was living in Weld County at the time.
Okay. And do you have any idea where she is now?
I really don't. I don't know if she's still living in that area anymore. I have no idea. I haven't talked to her in probably 8-10 years. Even after that, it was her calling me after she put this restraining order on me.
Okay, was the restraining order a part of the divorce action?
No.
Okay, it was separate and apart.
Correct.
And do you know if it was ever converted to an injunction?
I do not know that.
Okay. It might have expired under its own terms, but I would tell you right now, do not presume that. Restraining orders can last forever unless they're vacated. And then they've got to be vacated, and what has to happen is we have to petition the court to vacate it. A lot of times it'll take a petition actually going down there. The court quite often will want to maybe hear from her, determine if they can hear from her and know the circumstances. The district attorney gets involved. There's under the Colorado Family Law, there are specific forms for that. We can get those for you and set you up. All you need is your name and number, and we can take care of you on that and again get you the necessary documents for that.
But you got to have affirmative court action, and Brad's exactly right. Don't presume anything, but some of them do expire by their own terms, but you can't presume that. But the bottom line is you've got to file a motion with the court to vacate, modify, or vacate and get rid of the restraining order.
Okay, very good. Yeah, if I can get any sort of information, forms I need to fill out or whatever for you folks, that'd be great.
Well, the other thing I say a lot on this radio, and Brad says it, and I'm going to say it to you right now. Put yourself in the position of the judge. You're now before you're now before the judge. You're the judge. What would the judge like to know to vacate this order? Well, one thing might be is you have no idea where she is. Another thing is it's been years, 10 years, 5 years, 15 years. Another thing, there's been no criminal complaint or any charges filed in between. Another thing is you completely complied with the order. Yeah. And so if I'm the judge and I'm starting to feel comfortable with you and I'm starting to feel comfortable that there's not going to be any consequences from me vacating this order, that's what I'm really worried about, then I'm going to start leaning your direction.
Are the kids emancipated or are they not involved with them? But we can go through it, though.
Sure.
If we just get your name and number, we'll get you through this.
Okay, right on. That'd be awesome. I'd sure appreciate your help on that.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information. Brian, we'll call you. And thank you for calling Bell and Pollock.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Same to you. All right, Kevin, please take care of him. Right now we're going to talk to Eric at Caitlin's. Good morning, Eric.
Eric, you there?
Eric, are you there?
Yeah, I thought
we were. I think we lost Eric. I missed the opportunity to talk to him. Anyway, Caitlin's, you'll love it every bite of the way. I don't think they have their deck open anymore. I'm not quite sure, but
it was open yesterday.
It was. They've got the good homemade red chili sauce, homemade green chili sauce.
Maybe we can get them during the next
one. Maybe we can. So
let's see if we can get them right then.
All right, we're going to talk a lot with Bill from Lakewood. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? Glad I woke up when I woke up. I bet my passports are expired.
Yeah, right.
I got a question. This has always been a sore subject with me.
Okay.
You guys shoot at shooting ranges, don't you?
Yes.
Now, where you go, do they take your driver's license and put it up on the wall while you're shooting?
All the time.
What's the legality? I don't like it because with identity theft, you know.
And you know, I've never done anything about it. Gary, I don't know. You've got a shooting range.
Right. Yeah, I've never done anything about it either.
But I believe if you looked at them and said, "Hey, I'd rather you not put that up on the wall," they would make accommodations for
it. I don't.
Have you tried that?
But I'll tell you what I did was, and the first time I did it, a police officer was there. I photocopied my driver's license, then I crossed out the driver's license number and my birth date, and then I laminated it. And then the first time I used it, there happened to be, it was over in Wheat Ridge, there happened to be a Wheat Ridge police officer there. And the guy behind the counter goes, "What do you think about this?" I'm standing there thinking, "Oh, boy, I'm going to get hauled off to jail now." and the guy goes, "I don't care as long as you don't use it for driving, you know."
Well, I think that's an excellent idea. You know,
right.
I just,
what do they need all that other information?
While we're talking, I just pulled out my driver's license and I'm looking at the personal information, and I think that's an excellent idea.
First of all, that stuff on there, I'll tell you, you want to hear a good one about a driver's license. On a Friday afternoon, I lost my hunter's safety card. So I went up to Wildlife over there on Broadway and 62nd or 64th, whatever it is. And they had to make a photocopy of my driver's license, okay? So they gave me my hunter's safety card, and I took off. I go up to King Supers, and I was using a checking account I don't normally use, and I never used it at King Supers. And the guy, the cashier, goes, "His driver's license." Open up my wallet, and it's gone. It's not there. It's sitting on the photocopy machine at Wildlife on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
That ain't good. Right. That's
so
okay.
All weekend, no driver's license.
Well, I think that you make good. I think that probably when you're going to go shooting at a range, you know, I think that's an excellent idea, and I'm not so sure it shouldn't be something people should try. I think before you go shooting at the range, you might call up and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, or go with both. so you don't end up missing a you know, sometime shooting. But go with both and give him the one that, and I'm not so sure you shouldn't go the extra step of also taking out your address. I don't think people need to know your address, your driver's license number, or your date of birth.
I don't even know what, you know, and the problem is I also, because I don't even want to deal with identity theft. I even called up Motor Vehicle to see if I can get one of those Colorado State ID cards when you lose your driver's license.
We must be on the same wavelength. That's exactly what I was going to say to you.
And it's a no-go.
Yeah.
The only reason they'll give it to you is if you lose your drive, you know, if they take your driver's license
away. Right. Well, I think you've got a great idea. I don't know of any law that says, you know, the license has to be posted. You do have to identify yourself. They do want information about you, but there should be, in my opinion, a reasonable way to do that without having yourself exposed to identity theft.
Right. And it's nothing against, I mean, I don't know the people working there.
Sure.
I'm sure most of them are good people. It just takes that one bad apple, you know.
Exactly. You know, Gary, this is a good one. I think I'm going to have some research done on that this week, and listen to our show next week, because I'm going to do some research, maybe talk to a few people at the driving ranges and find out what goes on here.
You've raised a very interesting question, so give us an opportunity to get that answer for you, and I'll tell you what, next Saturday we'll bring it up on the show.
He's getting sports mixed up. You said driving range.
Shooting range, yeah. I don't think anybody cares if you're at the golf course.
Right.
Let's go. With
post your driver's license and go to the driving range. That's cool. We'll do it. We'll solve the problem. We'll get the answer. I'm sure everybody wants to know, and we really, really appreciate your call.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, we're here for you. We're ready to go. We're going to talk law with John. Good morning, John. Welcome to Bell and Pollock.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I've got a question. I've got a pending injury case, but what I'm having a problem on deciding is, when do you decide that the pain that you have from the injury is just going to be there? So you go, say, proceed on to get the case filed and all this.
Okay, so I'm not exactly sure I understand your question. Let's go through it again.
Okay, I had a car accident.
Right.
It was my Achilles tendon, so they operated on it, they fixed it. But it still is sore. I still go to, not physical therapy anymore, but just exercise class to try to keep it stretched out.
Right.
But it still hurts or aches. Nothing like the accident. But I don't know when to say, okay, well, this is as good as it's going to get.
Okay, I got you. All right, can you hold on till after the break with us?
Okay, yeah.
All right, but that's a great question. We'll be glad to answer it. We appreciate your call. Don't go anywhere, okay? That you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. If you want free copies of our books, first book is Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. Long title, but very meaningful. The other book, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. You can get them here. You can call Kevin. We'll send you a hard copy. You can get on our website, championsofthepeople.com, and download a free copy of the ebook, because we are your champions of the people. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We are injury attorneys, but we're here to help you on any legal subject. We do it every week. We're glad to do it. And right now, join us live from Caitlin's is Erie. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm sorry. It was operator error on my behalf, and so we just kind of left you behind, buddy.
That's okay. I'm still here.
All right. What's cooking over there, so to speak?
Things going on. I got a couple different breakfast specials we're going to run for the next 2 weeks. The first breakfast special is going to be the cinnamon roll French toast. Those are actually baked in-house. They're griddled to a golden brown. Serve that with a side of butter and a side of syrup. That's going to be the cinnamon roll French toast breakfast special. We're going to run it for 2 weeks. We're also going to run a two-egg omelet. We're going to load that up with cream cheese, diced tomatoes, fresh baby spinach. That also comes with a side of hash browns. That's going to be the second breakfast special. We're going to run that for 2 weeks. We're all going to do a bacon and blue cheeseburger for lunch. It's a bacon and blue cheeseburger. 6-ounce Angus. We're going to cook it to the temperature of your choice. You can add waffle fries or our homemade potato chips for just a dollar more on the side of that plate. That's going to run for 2 weeks. And also on Mondays and Fridays from 11 to 2. It's an all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all-you-can-eat. It's only $7.99. It actually comes with a non-alcoholic beverage and the price. You can't really beat that. And we're still running bottomless mimosas. They're only $10. Come and get them anytime. Come on and check out Caitlin's and see what we got.
Eric, you make me so mad when you're talking about cinnamon roll French toast because it's a happy mad. It's a happy mad because I've had them before, and you tempt me so much. They're so good.
Absolutely, and they just came out of the oven like 20 minutes ago, so they are ready to go.
Come you shouldn't have said that.
Eric, if it gets warm, can I sit on the deck today?
If it gets warm, you can. You know, I don't have the umbrellas out just yet, but it's always available. Anybody wants a request, they want to brave it, we'll let them sit out there and enjoy it.
Where are you located?
We're at 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. That's one block east of the Colorado Boulevard, and that is in the Glendale Shopping Center.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're here for you, 303-713-8255. We're talking to John. John, you there?
I am.
Okay, so right before the break, John called and said he was in an accident, had an Achilles tendon issue, I think, and he wants to know maybe when's the best time to try to resolve or settle the case. What's the criteria? Brad, you got your intake on input on this?
Well, John, a lot of this is going to depend on what your doctor tells you. Is your doctor saying you're at what we call maximum medical improvement or maximum therapeutic improvement? That may mean you still need care. You may need physical therapy. You may need still all sorts of care. But the doctor's got to be looking at you saying, this is the best we can get you.
Oh, okay. And
when the doctor says that, you know that's when you can start talking about this is the best or this is where I want to be and this is now what I know is going to happen to me. So you got to rely on the doctor for that one.
You know, to be clear, you don't have to wait till you reach MMI, maximum medical improvement. You don't have to, but it helps to do that because if you reach MMI, maximum medical improvement, that's as good as you're going to get. Therefore, you know what, John? You know you've got a permanent residual injury of some kind, okay?
Okay.
And permanency in this business, injury, it means a lot with regard to insurance companies.
Now, the doctor might also be able to tell you, hey, I can tell you right now the best you're going to get. You may say you're not there yet, but this is where that you're going to have to learn to live with these handicaps or these disabilities or these problems because we'll never overcome certain of these things.
One more quick comment for you, John, and then you can ask us any question you like. Let's take it to the extreme so everybody gets the picture really, really clear this morning. Let's say you were in an accident, you had a sore neck, your neck was sore for 2 days, and then everything resolved and never came back ever. Compare that case to you had a sore neck and then you have to have surgery on your neck. You got a neck fusion surgery and you're going to live with this the rest of your life. You can see the difference in those, right?
Oh, definitely.
Right. So are we answering your questions? I hope.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm going to have to set up an appointment to go back and see the doctor and see what she says.
Well, when you go see the doctor, questions to ask the doctor are, doctors don't usually use the word permanent. They usually use the words, you're going to have to learn to live with this, or you're going to have to compensate this, or for restrictions, if it hurts, don't do it. And your question is, what am I looking at for my future, Doc, with this? What does it look like? Am I having any medical treatment in the future, or am I, it's not fixable and it's got to stay this way? And so that's a permanent injury. That's worth a different amount of money.
Hey, John, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, because I am keeping like a diary of how I feel on certain days with it.
Excellent.
Right.
Excellent. That's what you want to do. I'm thinking that we ought to take your number and talk to you about a game plan so you know what's going on.
We'll give you a free legal game plan over the phone, and you can go see what you can do with the doctor and the insurance company. How would that be?
All right. Sounds great.
Let's do it.
And, John, I'm going to put you on hold. Give Kevin your information. We'll be glad to follow up with you. And thank you for calling Bell and Pollock, sir.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So please, Kevin, take down his information. We're talking law now. We've got a lot of callers here. We're going to talk to Hugh. Thanks for holding so long, Hugh. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What can we do for you? Well, I think you talked to us about a probate case, right?
Yeah, it's coming to court on courtroom 5E on Monday.
Right.
And they got the law firm of Wade Ash and something in Glendale trying to charge $156,000 on an estate that was valued at $120,000 initially.
Really?
But really? The public administrator is Ron Service, and he's taken out $24,000. And they're trying to justify their payments. But the court's open to the public. So Channel 4 is supposed to be there with Sean Boyd, and there's some other Fox 31s possibly going to be there. But
right.
We need as many people there to help this. He's a former veteran of the Army in Vietnam on the ground, and they basically stole his dad's estate. So we're just trying to get as many people in the courtroom to get a civic lesson, I guess, on this.
Well, thanks for the heads up. It's courtroom 5E in what county?
It's in Golden County.
Golden, Jefferson County?
Judge Oliver, Judge Munsinger recused himself when it was found out that the person that filed the will was a 33rd degree Mason, and Robert Horn, the lawyer, was a 33rd degree Mason, and that Run Service hires the clerk from Munsinger, and they got some kind of a payback scheme going on.
But, is he a veteran's, I mean, he's still with us, right? It was his dad's estate. Is that what we got?
Yeah.
Yeah, the veteran's still alive. Veteran going to be there?
Oh, yes.
All right, well.
What time and when?
Yep.
1 o'clock on Monday in courtroom 5E in Golden.
Okay.
Are you going to be there?
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right.
You.
So, Hugh, we appreciate the call. Tell the veteran we love veterans, buddy.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We're going to try to squeeze in TJ real quick. Good morning, TJ. How are you?
Hello?
TJ, you there?
Yeah.
All right. What are we going to do for you?
Yeah, a couple of months ago, I heard this person say he went to Memorial and he came out and he couldn't walk. And you said what was wrong with him. And he said something about he had a lung or breathing problem.
Right.
I wonder what happened to him, because something similar happened to me. I went to Memorial for something. And then when I came out, I had very bad difficulty walking. And now I've got, like, lumps all over the bottom of my legs, and I think it's because of something that was done. But they did everything in the book.
But you never had these conditions before you went to
them? No, I never had, like, lumps all over the bottom of my legs and this difficulty walk. I mean, I had difficulty walking, but nothing like it is now.
That sounds horrible.
There was a million a blood pressure test kind of done it.
Right.
You know, they just give you blood pressure tests forever. And then recently, that was in 2012, and recently I went to an ER.
Well, TJ, we're up against the wall on time. I'm going to give Kevin your information. We'll call you this week, and we'll see what we can do for you.
When?
We'll look back through our records, see if we can hook you up.
Right. So give Kevin your information.
When will you call me?
This week.
Oh, this week.
Wednesday's
good. I'll have my phone on.
Okay. Thanks, TJ.
Is that my number?
You're going to give it to Kevin. I'm going to put you on hold.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right, the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget our books. You can get them free, hard copy or e-copy. Don't get hurt in the same accident twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. And the other one, Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. We do it for you. We give you the information because we are your champions of the people.